Ladies, it's Pastor Joy. I'm so excited. We have been talking all about the attributes of God and how it is displayed through women. So today I want to just touch a little bit on the nurturing aspect of the Lord, his nurturing attributes on display all throughout women. Obviously, I feel like this is one that women can more so relate to. You know, we are just nurturers at heart. I want to talk about the definition of the word nurture, though. It means to care for and to encourage the growth or development of. So obviously, there are things about God that women directly display, and the word nurture is going to be one of those things. Women are just naturally caring, naturally encouraging, or hey, maybe that's something that you feel like you struggle with. Maybe you're not a naturally encouraging woman, or you just don't, you say to yourself, Pastor Joy, I'm not really caring. Guess what? That's okay, because you were created to be a nurturer. So I'm here to encourage you today. I'm going to just go through the word of God, a couple scriptures, and how the nurturing aspect of God, how it is on display through you. Yes, you. So I want to talk about how God is caring. In 1 Peter 5:7, it says that casting all of your cares on him because he cares for you. God is the God of care. You know, the Bible says that we should cast all of our anxiety, all of our worries upon him. To me, to just roll them off. You want to give all of those things over to the Lord. The Bible uses that word anxiety. I feel like that's a very specific word, because yes, you can worry. Yes, you could have some doubts, but when you start being anxious about something, that's bringing that thing into a whole nother level, you know? And so the Bible says, and it encourages us to cast those things upon God, because he cares for you. He cares what you're going through. He cares what you've already been through. He cares about the deepest parts of who you are, you know, your unsaid prayers. God says to bring all those things to him. Why? Because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And so in Psalms 8:4, it says, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you should care for him? Just teeny old you, you know, this universe is a big universe. God created a big world, and in that world includes you. And even though we're a small portion of creation, God come in and he cares about each and every detail of our lives. He's very intricate. So I have this quote by Charles Spurgeon. It's absolutely amazing. It says that his care, though tender and comprehensive, causes no anxiety to him. So right there, that's huge. It's saying right there that God's care for us and his tender mercy, it doesn't cause him any anxiety. It doesn't take anything from God. It says that for his great mind is more than equal to the task. God is up for the task. He's up for your, you know, on your behalf. He's not hiding in the heavens, just far off from what you're going through. The Bible talks about how God is, you know, his ears are inclined to the prayers of his people. So he's saying here that he cares, and that he's up for the task, and he's more equal to the task. But our care ferments within us. So our care, whenever we start caring and in our own natural strength, we just become very stinky and it just doesn't work out well for us. But our care ferments within us and it threatens the destruction of our meager souls. So that means that you're just striving at it. You know, we're technically not any good at it, but what? Hey, the Holy Spirit works through us. So it makes us possible. When we're weak, God is strong. And so it says here that we are to cast our care, which is folly, upon the Lord, for he exercises a care, which is wisdom. Care to us is exhausting, right? You always feel sometimes when you just feel drained, you feel like when you're working it, you get on that hamster wheel is what I like to call it. You'll feel real quick because you'll just be depleted of every part of who you are. You know, you'll just get extremely tired. You'll find yourself very fatigued. You know, it says here that that's folly, and that those exercises of care for us is exhausting. But God is all sufficient. Care to us is simple, but God's care of us is holy. Care distracts us from service, but the divine mind does not forget one thing while remembering another. So guess what? God is the ultimate multitasker. He's all over your situation. He's all over your past, your present, and your future. Why? Because he cares for us. So not only is God caring, but he's also a loving God. We are all in search of this. This is huge. I want you to hear me out. God is a loving God. God's love is not only unconditional, but it's also sacrificial. So in 1 John 4:19, it says that we love because God first loved us. So it's not about what you did, what you didn't do, the works that you can do, all the great things that you do in life, but it's just simply because God loves you. And because God loves you, you love him. And so in 1 Timothy 1, verse 12 through 14, this isn't a message. I love this scripture. It says, I'm so grateful to Christ Jesus for making me adequate to do his work. He went out on a limb, you know, entrusting me with this ministry. The only credentials I brought to it were violence and witch hunts and arrogance. But I was treated mercifully because I didn't know what I was doing, didn't know who I was doing it against. Grace mixed with faith and love poured over me and into me, and all because of Jesus. So God's love for you is an unconditional one. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter even what you did yesterday. It's gone. The Bible says that our sins are as far as the east is from the west. When we confess our sins to God and ask him to repent us, he's gracious enough to come through on our behalf and to forgive us for our sins. And so his love for you is an unconditional love. The conditions aren't there. It doesn't matter. He loves you in spite of. And not only is that love unconditional, it's sacrificial. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so you are whosoever. So God's sacrificial love comes in. It changes us. It transforms us. And it never, ever leaves us the same. And so I love the fact that we can come in, and not only does God love, it's unconditional, it's sacrificial, but that nurturing aspect of God is not only physical, but it's also spiritual. And God also teaches us. And so in Psalms 25:12, it says that who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way that he should choose. And so I remember In the book of Timothy, when Paul was writing to Timothy, and how, you know, he was talking about Timothy's mom, Eunice, and about his grandmother, Lois, and how they not only were, you know, they were major spiritual figures in his life. And I love that example, because it shows us a great example of how God teaches us through the people that he put in our lives. And so in Psalms 32:8, it says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And so the word of God, this Bible, is going to be a great way for you to learn about the things of God. Allow the word of God to be the standard in your life. Allow your life to line up with this word. And all of a sudden, you'll find yourself growing spiritually. Once God does a work in our lives, once we accept Christ into our hearts, there's a cultivation period that needs to happen. And really, that developmental period will never stop until we see Jesus face to face in heaven. But while we're here on earth, there's a growing process that needs to happen. That's going to be a great way for you to learn, by getting in the word of God. Not only getting in the word of God, but also connecting to his body, the church, being able to attend service, you know, not only once a week, but also being in a life group. That's crucial for your Christianity. Allow the Lord to not only teach you, but then also on the flip side of that, you know, we teach others. Just like Timothy's grandmother and his mom, they taught him. And so he was able to pour that same thing that he received from them. He was able to pour that back onto other people that he encountered. And so 2 Timothy 2:1-2 says, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So life group and discipleship is a great way for you to be able to teach other people. Hey, maybe you're not a mom. Maybe you don't have any children. Maybe you're not married. But guess what? There's always someone around you in your sphere of influence, your neighbor, someone you work with. You know, maybe it's somebody that you, in your family, that's someone that you could always pour the love of God on, someone that you could always teach about Christ. You know, allow the Holy Spirit to just manifest his nurturing nature on the inside of you. How can we display these things? Hey, look all around you. It's all around you in this world of God. God is a big God. He's a loving God. He's a nurturing God. And I just love the way he comes through on our behalf. So I want to encourage you today, if you find yourself in lack of being a nurturer, or hey, if you say, I got it all together, I want you to pour out. The Bible talks about those who water shall be watered themselves. So I love you. Be blessed. Be an encourager. Be a nurturer. We will see you soon. Love you, ladies. Bye.